Our sermon today is based on a reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. About this, we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have become sluggish in hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. God, thank you for feeding us so well and so abundantly with all good things. So let's do a quick recap of the topics we've covered in our Eat Your Way Through the Bible sermon series. We've taken a bite of the apple, found out about figs, ogled some olives, noshed on nuts, ate almonds, crushed on cucumbers, had a hint of mint, consumed cake, chowed down on cheese, and then we washed it all down with wine. What a feast. Today we're going to milk a certain metaphor for all it's worth. The Apostle Paul, in the reading we heard from the Corinthians, was trying to clarify some things for the church there. The people were clamoring for more depth in his teachings, more spiritual oomph. But Paul countered that they weren't ready for the meat of the gospel. They were still arguing and fighting among themselves, being partisan, with one group saying, "I follow Paul," and another group saying, "I follow Apollos." And things were getting pretty heated as they splintered into factions. Paul told them that as long as they were acting in such an earthly way, he wasn't going to feed them on the meatier aspects of the word. They were like babies. They couldn't ingest and digest stronger, more solid food, the deeper, mysterious truths of the word of God, although they really wanted it. The writer of Hebrews told his audience that they needed milk too, the very basics of the teachings of God. And it only made sense. When you have a new baby, the only thing you can feed it is milk. Its digestive system can't handle anything more complicated than that. It has to start with the basics. And milk, especially mother's milk, has all the nutrients a baby needs to grow, and it's easy for a baby to digest. I'm still disgusted when I think about that mother who bragged about feeding her infant hot dogs. "I mashed them up real good," she said, "and soda." That's not what you feed a child to give it a good foundation on which to grow. Paul and the writer of Hebrews agree on this. Babes in Christ need to start from the very beginning, a very good place to start. Babes in Christ need to build their lives upon the rich nutrition of simple biblical truths, the first principles that lead us onward and upward. What are some of those truths that offer a solid base from which we can grow in our faith? We go back to Genesis in the opening words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is a good place to sit and contemplate God's goodness and greatness, and then gradually prepare bit by bit to take in more solid truths. You can start building on another simple truth that can be found throughout Scripture. God is love. It's not always stated just in so many words, but also in the miraculous deeds God has done. After you sit for a bit with these ideas, then you can move forward to stronger, more solid ideas and ideals. Isn't it fun when you start feeding a baby solid foods? I remember buying those little jars of mushed up carrots and pureed peas and peaches and bananas and giving them to my son Dan when he was a little guy. He had this habit where once he took the food off the spoon with his lips, he put his thumb in his mouth, I guess to help him swallow it down. From there, he progressed to pieces of chicken and hamburger and other food, and yeah, hot dogs when he was much older, embarking on a culinary adventure that he's still on. The other day, we were FaceTiming, and I asked Poppy, my granddaughter, what she had had for dinner, and she said, "Sushi." I was like, "What? You're too little to be eating sushi." Her dad was quick to tell me that they had gone to a seafood restaurant and she had watched someone make sushi. She hadn't eaten any herself. But she'll soon be ready to take that step, and since her parents love sushi, she's going to get a good introduction to and instruction in it. But she has to work her way up to it. You can't go right to the steak dinner with all the trimmings, all the esoteric essences in the Bible until you have built up your spiritual chops through prayer and Bible study and have worked your way up to being ready to chomp on the heavier messages. It wasn't that the message Paul was bringing was too complicated. It was that the hearers were, as he said, sluggish or dull of hearing. They didn't want to hear things like, we have to take care of the hungry and the poor and the thirsty and the alien among us. They didn't want to hear that they had to act with love and patience and kindness towards one another instead of fighting all the time, basically undermining their calling as followers of Christ. Paul needed to take them back to the basic elements of God, to what one commentator called the rudimentary principles of the divine revelation. They had to start all over again with milk, not meat. But the idea also was that they should not let themselves get stuck. What is milk meant most to do? Help you grow strong bones and become healthy, get you some of that vitamin D. The Corinthians, Paul said, had to grow. They had to. There's a rare disorder where a person ages, but they don't grow beyond the stage of infancy. They get stuck at that one phase of growth and remain helpless and dependent on others all their lives. While that is due to a physical deficiency, Paul tells us that we should never be stuck in a spiritual deficiency. The Corinthians were thinking they knew all they needed to know, and that was that, and they didn't need to learn anything else. But no, we are not supposed to stay physical or spiritual babies. We should always endeavor to learn more, to be more, to do more, eat more solid food, learn about the plans and purposes of God. It's like this to me. We grew up hearing those fantastic, beloved Bible stories of the Garden of Eden, Noah and the Ark, the story of Moses, the story of Jesus. When we were young, drinking spiritual milk, we took those stories at face value and we enjoyed them and let them become part of our biblical understanding because we could understand them in a surface kind of way. But as we grew and matured in the faith, we were able to think about those stories in different, deeper ways. We started musing about the implications of what eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil meant. Not just for Adam and Eve, but for us as their spiritual descendants. We started thinking about the deeper implications of the ark, seeing its symbolism as an example of God's love and protection, commiserating with Noah as we endured seemingly endless challenges and wild waves. When we first learned about Jesus, we took the story into our hearts in perfect innocence. We took the gift of salvation without really thinking about what it cost. But as we matured and came to understand more, as we experienced more in our own lives, we saw the pain of the crucifixion, and it hit us just how much Jesus had suffered for us. One of the pastors at a recent Holy Week celebration talked about the physical devastation of the crucifixion. He actually got kind of gory and graphic. Well, most of us in attendance could handle it. We've been reading about and thinking about the crucifixion for years. But if there had been any new believers listening that day, it would have blown their minds to get such a stark glimpse of what Jesus went through for us. They couldn't have digested it. It's only after we have drunk the spiritual milk and filled our hearts with the basic truths of God that we are able to dive deeper into the glass and consider underlying nuances and truths that we couldn't have considered as new believers. What another commentator called the sublimer truths of the gospel. It's only through experience that we can become mature enough to do the important work of distinguishing good from evil. We have to grow up physically and spiritually. But paradoxically, we also need to keep hold of that childlike wonder and innocence that characterized our beginnings with God. We should never grow out of that. We need to be able to see with simplicity and clarity all the goodness of God and not complicate things too much. When it starts getting complicated, that's probably when we need to take a big swig of that spiritual milk and get ourselves back to the early elements of our faith, back to the basics. God created. God is love. God sent Jesus to help us. Borrowed that old advertising slogan for this sermon's title, Milk, It Does a Body Good. In this case, I'm talking about the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers. As we drink and learn and grow, we become teachers and outreachers. We tell others about the truths we have discovered about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It does the body of Christ good that we share with one another our insights and encounters with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And instead of acting like the quarreling Corinthians, we find we are sharing the fruit of the Spirit with one another: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Moving from a worldly way of being and interacting — some people just love to fuss and fight — into a more spiritual way of taking on the world together. The sermon has a sort of a subtitle: Milk, It Does a Body Good Unless You're Lactose Intolerant. Lactose intolerance occurs because the body doesn't produce enough of the enzyme lactase, which is needed to digest lactose, the sugar in milk. This can lead to some very unpleasant symptoms, including cramps and other tummy troubles that I am sure some of us can testify to. Today we get milk from all kinds of odd elements — soy, nuts, whatever. But drinking spiritual milk, feeding and feasting on the Word of God, praying and praising, drinking this milk that never spoils, it gives you the strength you need to stand firm on biblical truth and knowledge, to ingest and digest the pure, whole gospel. This spiritual milk shouldn't make you intolerant. This spiritual milk can bring about pleasant symptoms of satisfaction and compassion that make you want to share it with others. And that's good. Good for your spiritual health, good for your soul, good for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and all those out there who will someday be called to be part of this herd of believers. Let this milk strengthen your spiritual understanding and cause you to grow ever more solid and secure in your faith. Drink it up. Let us pray. God, we raise our glasses to you, thankful that you have filled them to overflowing with the spiritual milk we all need. We're ready to taste and see that you are good, and see that you will help us grow in our faith. Amen.